Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you Wednesday, June the 2nd, 2021, 13 and a half minutes past the hour. And I'm not going to complain about the weather because I don't like the extremely hot weather. And this year I've been growing tomato plants. I really have not gotten much into that, but a few weeks ago you heard me talk about my desire this year to grow tomato plants. And about 2.5 weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, I went down to the Groovy Plant Ranch. Now, I want to tell a little story about the Groovy Plant Ranch. I have never been to this place in my life. It's over by Marengo. And it's a favorite stop of Angie Ever. She has mentioned this to me for almost a year now, that she loves the Groovy Plant Ranch and gets a lot of her plants over there. Plants and vegetables and so on and so forth. But I'd never heard of it. I'd never been there. And about 3 weeks ago, I finally ventured over there with her. And it's a great place. Old-time music. Really neat scenery, old cars and things like that there amongst all the plants and vegetables. So it really is a cool place. Really well run. Good prices, whole thing. Well, here's the funny thing about this. On Monday during my Memorial Day get-together, Mary Ellen Withrow was there. And I happened to mention that I was growing tomatoes this year, that I'm growing them in my front yard. And Mary Ellen, just out of the blue, said that she had recently been to the Groovy Plant Ranch. And I can't remember if she said she bought anything or not, but when she said Groovy Plant Ranch, I thought everybody on planet Earth must know about this place but me. But now I do. I not only know about it, I've been there, and I've gotten tomato plants there. So, I don't know if the Groovy Plant Ranch is a big stop for everybody, but if you haven't been there, you should go there. It's very interesting. They've given me no money to say that, but it's an interesting place if you like stuff like that, and it's just over by Marengo. So, not too far away, just a little ways up the road. Why did I get into Groovy Plant Ranch there? Oh, talking about the weather, the month of March was very, very strange, probably one of the coldest, rainiest Mother's Day in the history of Marion, Ohio. It rained a lot. The week leading up to Memorial Day was very cool. Last weekend was cool, Friday, Saturday, really Thursday last week. It was cool, it was rainy. And now here we are in the month of June, and today is rainy and cool, and we are now 19 days away from summer. Now, you know, we all like to say, hear it all the time, stay in Ohio and the weather will change. Yeah, and that's a good joke, but really this year we are having some abnormally mild temperatures very late in the season. I'm sure it's happened, and I'm sure some meteorologist would point it out to me, but we don't get cool, snowy weather like this in June. Not that we're having snow, and I don't think we will have snow in June, but April, yeah. We get snow in April, so when we had that snow in mid-April, that's happened before, and it went away very quickly because the temperatures came up very quickly. And but May, our May was very cool. I don't know how far we were below what the average temperatures were, but I know it's wreaking havoc with a lot of people's vegetables and flowers because of the temperatures. Now, all the rain is helping them out, but the temperatures are not helping them out at all. And now here we are into early June, and it'll turn, and it'll get extremely hot like it does all the time. But it's just a very, very late time in the spring season for us still to be having cool temperatures like this. But I like it because I don't like the usually extremely hot temperatures. I like the 70s. 70s, low 80s, I like that. So when that comes in, I'm great. But the rain could go. I think I'm about done with the rain. You know, it starts out with April showers are supposed to bring May flowers. Well, apparently this year it's April, May, and early June showers will hopefully bring May flowers. Well, I guess it would be June flowers now, wouldn't it? We didn't get the May flowers. But how are people's yards doing? Did anybody go out and plant vegetables like I did? Are things in bloom in your yard? Is anybody hearing anything about the farmers? Are they doing okay with this odd kind of off temperatures that we're having? A little colder, rainy, things of that nature. Has anybody heard anything about this? Or has anybody been over to the Groovy Plant Ranch? I know Angie certainly has. I have. Mary Ellen Withrow has. Is this a regular stop for people and I've just been living in a cave? Give me a buzz here. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz. I would love to hear from you here at WWGH Radio on this unseasonably cool morning here in the month of June. Now, we are going to have our drawing later on this morning for the winner of our prize. We did trivia yesterday. Now, remember, the prize, again, is something from Amish country. When I was over in Sugar Creek a few weekends ago, that you would not be able to buy here in Marion. So we will do that drawing later on this morning. But we've got a lot of entries here. We've got Bob Austin in twice. We've got Ralph Thacker in twice. We've got Tom Fout in twice. I believe Mary Bickley is in four times. We've got Lee Dominey in twice. We've got Brenda Griffith in. Jody Lucas in. Sarah Burgraff in. Rich Gorenflo is in three times, so that's where we are on the competition. So we've got in total 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 19 entries that we will draw from later on this morning. So that'll be a lot of fun. And again, we'll draw before 10 o'clock, and Glenn will be here through 1 o'clock today. So if you want to pick up your prize today, you have until 1 o'clock to come in and get that from Glenn. But we will do the drawing this morning. Also this morning, I did want to mention that Friday morning is going to be a lot of fun here on the station. So you'll want to tune in for that. It's National Donut Day. And the planning for this started several months ago, right after I think we moved into the new studio here. Terry Klein, who's been a listener of the station for a long time, called in one morning and asked me if I'd ever had Buckeye Donuts. And I've never had Buckeye Donuts, which are out of Columbus. So Terry said that he would go down there one morning before the show kicks off here, drive to Columbus, pick us up some Buckeye Donuts, and come back here to Marion, and we'll have them on the morning show. Now, that will happen on Friday morning because Friday, June the 4th, is National Donut Day. And we decided to put a little twist on it. We thank Terry for doing that, and that's going to be a lot of fun. But what we're going to do is we're going to get two other types of donuts because we will already have the Buckeye donuts here. Now, I'm not going to tell you what the two other types of donuts are. Matter of fact, I don't even know yet. But there will be two other types of donuts. And on Friday morning, we will have two, maybe three, maybe four judges in the studio. And what will happen is during the 8 o'clock hour, all of our guests will try one donut. During the 9 o'clock hour, they'll try another donut. And during the 10 o'clock hour, they'll try another donut. And then at the end of the 10 o'clock hour, we will tally the results of the great donut challenge. And we will see which donut wins Best Donut on Donut Day here in Marion. And again, that will all take place on Friday morning. So don't miss that. And then during the noon hour on Friday, we'll do something fun to be sure. Wanted to mention a couple things here before I get into the big story of the morning. Yesterday, I was out in the public. I was out in the grocery store, and I ran into two listeners. And they just happened to say things that I really appreciated. I had one listener come up to me and say, "You know, I have coffee with you every morning." And I just appreciated that so much, because a lot of people do live alone, and music is not the same as talk. And I hope that this does seem like a conversation, that we're just sitting around having coffee or donuts or English muffins or hot chocolate or tea in the morning together. Because I like it being very informal. I like doing the interviews, and I think that's important, and keeping up on the news. But I also just like the informal chat. So I really appreciated that message yesterday from one of our listeners. And the other it was an interesting day. I'll give you two more, actually, that I had yesterday. One, a lady just came up to me and said, "You know, even if I couldn't hear your voice, I would know who you were." So that was nice. I appreciated that. I don't know how, and I'm sure everybody's out there listening right now who I ran into, so you know who I'm talking about. And then the other person, this was a great compliment. She said she, during the school year, was driving her grandson back and forth to school in the morning, and that's how she got started listening to this station when she was in the car. And now that she does not do that because school is out, she now listens on her Google, I don't think she said Google Dot, but I think she said Google Play. She listens on her Google Play. So she listens on her phone, I think, or tablet, or whatever it might be. Which again says to me, that's how a lot of people listen. You know, Friday night when we had a little trouble with the server, I was getting so many messages from people saying they were listening on TuneIn, they were listening on Alexa, and everything sounded fine. And then yesterday, when this lady is not taking her grandson to school every day anymore, she's now listening on her internet device, I guess is the best, her Google device. I know she did say Google. So, I appreciate that. I think that's very nice, and nice that she got hooked on the station while she was in the car and now listens in her home. So I appreciate that quite a bit. Now, the one other thing I want to mention, because today is the end of the COVID restrictions, and to be honest with you, I'm not really sure what that means as far as stores go. Because I was talking to a few people yesterday in some stores, and I think the restrictions are going to be lifted for the customers to not have to wear masks. But I don't think that's going to be the case for employees. Now, I think if the employees are vaccinated, they don't have to wear masks, but I think the mask rule is going to stay in place for the employees who have not been vaccinated. So that's, I think, how it's going to stand today. Now, we'll find out when we all go out to the stores, because things change minute to minute, but that's the way it is. But beside that, the reason I want to talk a little bit about this morning is that I have seen two stories from people who I know, one primarily I know in person, but I follow them on Facebook, and the other I just know through Facebook. But for some reason, they're having COVID outbreaks. Now, one of the people, I think it's their brother, and I was seeing the reports yesterday that he's on a ventilator, and they're trying to wean him off the ventilator, and he had taken a turn for the worse, and we hope he gets better. But all due to COVID. And then this morning I'm reading about a whole family, and they are not an old family. I saw the picture. The family is rather young. I would say the parents maybe are 40 years old, and the kids are probably teenagers. So apparently COVID has been going through their family and going through it pretty awful. The family not doing well at this point, and again, we hope they get well. But this, I think, is what we all feared, and I hope it doesn't get worse, but when these restrictions go away, if you don't have the vaccination, you're going to be a lot more susceptible than you were before, because everybody was wearing masks, if you had the vaccine or not. So it was rather hard to transmit the illness. I always said, and I don't know what science is going to say to this, but last year was the first year in my life, and I've had a halfway decent long life now, that I never got a cold. I get two or three colds every winter. Or you know, usually from October till April, I get two or three colds during that period. I got nothing last year. For the first time in the history of my life, I did not have one cold. No flu, and I don't get the flu shot. No flu, no cold, nothing last year. And the only thing I was doing differently was wearing that mask. Now, a lot of people want to say it has nothing to do with the mask. Maybe it doesn't. But if I get a cold now, when we stop wearing the masks, I'm going to have to say it was the mask. But we'll see what happens. So there's that. And what that makes me think about is when we all take these masks off and we stop 6-foot distancing, which apparently will also be going away today, if you don't have the vaccine, you're going to be highly susceptible. And you've got to remember, again, the number in Marion. I'm talking about Marion. I'm not talking about all the other places in the world. In Marion County, our percentage vaccinated right now is only 35%. Not even near half the people in Marion have been vaccinated. So when you go to the grocery store or you go out in public, and I'm not trying to be scary here, but I want you to know the facts, because starting today, people don't have to wear masks, vaccinated or not, and people don't have to be 6 feet apart, vaccinated or not, and Marion County's at 35% vaccinated. So those are the numbers. Know that when you go out, because we don't want people to get sick. But I know there are a lot of people who are saying, well, I never got it, so maybe I'm immune, or the masks didn't work. You know, a lot of people are saying a lot of things. But you got to understand, if you weren't wearing the mask when you were going into the store, everybody else was. So that's different starting today. So if somebody goes into a store today and has COVID, coronavirus, and you don't have your mask on, now they're not going to have their mask on. And the only way this is transmitted is virally. You have to come in contact with somebody who has it. So understand that. You can make your own decisions. I would never tell somebody to get the vaccine or not get the vaccine, but I want you to have the facts on Marion County. 35% vaccinated, and starting today, when you go in public, I don't think customers, and some stores, I'm sure restaurants, they're not going to be wearing masks. 35%. So there you go. Just heed that as you head out into the world. 740-383-9944. Does anybody have anything to say about that? You know, it's a big moment in the pandemic. You know, we started with lockdown orders. We then went opening partially back up, and then we had mask mandates, and then we had a vaccine, and now here we are opening back up pretty well, as near as I can tell, to full capacity, except for nursing homes and retirement centers. So here we are. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Anybody have anything to say? And remember again, I'm not saying get the vaccine or don't get the vaccine. All I'm saying is that today is going to be different than any time in the last 14 months if you have not had the vaccine. Because there are going to be people walking around in these stores freely who probably have not had the vaccine, since only 35% of Marion is vaccinated, and they will be able to transmit it to you rather easily because they won't have the mask on anymore and they won't have to stay 6 feet away from you. So that's what's going to happen today. So we'll see how that all shakes out. But again, 740-383-9944. But all around, I guess if you have the vaccine, you are okay, as far as we know, at this particular point. And again, Vax-a-Million tonight. Don't forget, second round of Vax-a-Million tonight at 7:29 p.m. So we'll see if we get another, well, we will get another millionaire tonight and another full scholarship ride here in Marion. So here we are. 740-383-9944. Now, I talked a little bit about this last week with Mary Ellen Withrow, and I've wanted to bring this up for some time, because this is a story that was very big in Marion in 1974. And I wanted to know, because a lot of you guys have been around long prior to 1974, and, well, we'll just get into it. In October of 1974, October 4th, 1974 is actually the date, we had a police chief here in Marion. His name was John Long. John Long was the police chief. Now, here's the backstory on this, as far as I have it from Marion Star articles. Essentially, what happened with John Long was some people on city council in 1974 and the sheriff in 1974. Let me go back a second. Apparently, some people, not the entire city council, but members of city council, and I'm really not sure even how it happened yet, whether people went to them or they started this themselves, but some accusations were made about Police Chief John Long back in 1974. And I believe the city council asked the sheriff at that time to investigate these accusations. And he did. So then they went to the mayor at that time, who was Don Quaintance, the late Don Quaintance, and presented him with this investigation and wanted Police Chief John Long to resign. And the police chief said there was nothing to the... But the police chief didn't really know what the accusations were, to be honest with you, because as you read the newspaper article, the names of the people accusing him were not revealed. And a matter of fact, they weren't revealed to the mayor either, according to these documents. So nobody knew what the accusations were, and nobody knew who made them. So I think it was kind of hard for John Long and Mayor Quaintance to understand this. Now, I imagine city council knew, and I imagine the sheriff at the time knew who made these accusations, but they would not tell Police Chief John Long or Mayor Quaintance. Well, Mayor Quaintance said he was not going to ask John Long to resign, and as a matter of fact, at the end of 1974, which this is October, remember that? So 3 months later, John Long had already planned to retire as police chief. This was said long before these accusations came about. So on the fateful day of October the 4th, John Long resigned as police chief. And I'm going to try to read this, a little bit of this article. This is from the Marion Star, October 4th, 1974. Police Chief John Long quit under fire today, calling the accusations against him hogwash. Mayor Don Quaintance said he believes Long was not guilty as accused, but wanted to avoid the trauma and fighting the unfounded charges, only to retire at the end of the year anyway. So, and also, Quaintance also criticized the five city council members that gathered the allegations against Long. Quaintance said, "I have witnessed firsthand men's," and this is an old article, in, I think it's insanity to other man is what he was saying. So, and it lists the councilmen who brought these charges, by the way. I'm not going to list them here. But anyway, so on October 4th, 1974, John Long was getting ready to retire as police chief. He gave a press conference. He said, "I'm going to retire 2 months early. These charges are hogwash," and the mayor was backing him up. Well, here's what also happened on October 4th, 1974, and this is the bulletin that was in the paper. Within hours after announcing his resignation, Marion City Police Chief John W. Long was found shot to death in his office at 11:11 a.m. today. That would have been October 4th, 1974. Dr. Robert T. Gray, Marion County Coroner, said the cause of death was a single gunshot wound from Police Chief Long's own revolver. Gray, let's see here, this is a small print. Gray ruled the, I think it was, well, Gray ruled the police chief veteran had taken his own life. Time of death was set at 11 a.m., Gray said. He was last seen alive at 10:30 a.m., witnesses at City Hall said. Funeral arrangements were pending with Boyd Funeral Home. So, there you go. Police Chief Long resigned on October 4th, 1974. He was going to resign at the end of the year anyway, and within hours, he had shot himself at his own desk with a single wound, killed himself. Now, it's an awful story, but most people do remember that story. But again, we still don't know what the charges were. Now, this is the important thing I want to read. This is from the Marion Star, October 5th, 1974, the very next day. This is an editorial. It's from the Editor's Corner. And the headline on this is, "The Chief Will Be Missed." Now, I'm going to read this exactly as it's written. And this was written by somebody at the Marion Star because it's not signed. It says, "Many hearts in Marion are sad. Many persons are angry. Police Chief John Long, a 25-year veteran of the force, and chief the last 9 years, is gone. He took his own life just after resigning to begin retirement. The resignation and tragic end were the climax of a very traumatic week. The chief was under fire by a group of councilmen who, with the aid of Sheriff Ronald Scheider, conducted an investigation for some time without guilty or innocent. We'll likely never know because the fine record of this man who rose from the ranks of chief and was looking forward to retirement at the end of the year is smeared by the unknowns in this case that have come to the tragic ending of his life. How serious were the charges? How credible were the accusers? There are many questions, people are asking bitterly. It would seem the criticism should be directed at the manner in which the investigation was conducted and made known, not the investigation itself. Why it was necessary to showboat a serious matter by calling a Monday morning press conference and then announcing all would be set out that afternoon, nobody knows. Despite the buildup, the session was closed to the public and press and most such personnel. But why the pronouncements and the buildup? It had been reported that charges were given to the mayor and the chief, but the names of those who made them were not released. Seemingly, the motivation was to get Chief along to retire now more than get executive action in the way of punishment or dismissal of the chief. But again, this was a personal matter. Why the grandstanding? There would have been ample time for pronouncement if the charges had fallen on deaf ears, assuming they were credible enough to warrant action. Chief John Long was convicted by the public, not by trial. Thus, he really was not convicted. The fact that he took his own life is insufficient in itself to add credence to the charge. Many have weakened under severe strain. He had chosen to retire now rather than go through the trauma of a battle only to end his service at the end of the year. He had, in fact, looked forward to his retirement for several years. For a couple of hours, the accusers had obtained their goal, the ouster of Chief Long. Then the issue became a tragedy. In a nation that thrives on freedom, it's sad indeed that we still convict people without a trial. John Long was not without faults, but who is? But his record was a credit to the Marion Police Department and to the city. He may have had his weaknesses as an administrator. That concern had been voiced before, but no one along the way found cause for dismissal. Meantime, he grew in stature in the eyes of the general public and particularly the youth. He was the community's chief of police, and he had the respect and love of much of the citizenry. He was straightforward and always defended himself and his men. John Long was concerned for the community. He worked hard for it and maintain directions. Surely his good points and his strong ones outweigh the others. The chief will be missed. And again, that was the day after his suicide, October 5th, 1974, in the Marion Star. Now, the reason I bring this up today is because what do people remember about this story? The resignation of Police Chief John Long on October 4th, 1974, his suicide 3 hours later on October 4th, 1974, with a gunshot wound at his own desk, and then that editorial, which again, this is something, you know, politics and media, that's one thing, giving your own opinion, but I think what this editorial is saying, if you have charges against somebody, why don't you say the names? Why don't you file charges? You know, this happens way too often. There are no charges filed against anybody, none. And yet, the media does a number on you just because somebody's accused you. And they don't even know who's accused you. Do you ever notice how newspapers and radio stations and television stations, when there's an accusation, they never even tell you who's accusing you? Well, what did John Long do wrong here? You know, I'm sure 2 months away from retirement, he did not want to go through public scrutiny. He was already going through it. People were calling public press conferences and conducting investigations and wouldn't even tell him who his own accusers were. And they didn't have to face the firing squad. His accusers certainly didn't. So, I don't know. That, to me, I guess why that's prescient at this particular time is that the Judge Warner case, we've talked a lot about this, and clearly Judge Warner did have charges brought against him, and clearly Judge Warner was found guilty. Now, he's appealing that. But, again, it's in the front page of the paper every day. It's talked about all the time. Now, yes, charges filed, that has to be covered. The verdict has to be covered. Yes, the sentencing has to be covered. But all this other conjecture and story after story after story after story that make the front page, I don't know about those stories. And, you know, I think that does do something to people's psyche. You know, it's not so much the crime. You might have remorse for the crime. And a lot of times there isn't a crime because there are never charges filed anywhere. But for some reason, media outlets still feel the need to run that as if you have murdered somebody. And I'm not sure that I understand that. And I'm not sure in 1974 they understood that either. And in 1974, a police chief ended up dead at his own desk by his own revolver. Because of charges. And I keep thinking to myself, because I still don't know what the charges were against John Long. I have no idea. Nobody ever did report what the charges were after he killed himself. So, were they true? Were they that awful that it couldn't wait 2 months for the man to retire? Were they criminal charges? Does anybody know? I don't get it. Does anybody have a speculation why John Long would have done this? Is any of his family still in Marion? You know, this just happened in 74. The chief was not that old. I think he was only in his 50s in 1974. Is his wife or kids still around here? You know, that'd be interesting to talk about. This happened well over 40 years ago. Does anybody have any thoughts on this? 50 minutes past the hour. I think it's an interesting story about what the media does to people. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz here. I'd love to get your opinion on this. I just found that so interesting, and I did not know John Long, and I still don't know what the charges were against him, and I don't know why he committed suicide, except, as that editorial points out the day after his death, that, you know, this was a guy who was very well known in the community. He was the police chief, and he was being attacked publicly, grandstanding, by some city council members. Public press conferences. And I always wonder about that. You know, if charges are filed against somebody or accusations are brought up, why do people feel the need to run to the media with that? You know, accusations are not charges. And accusations certainly are not convictions. So, why... You know, I wonder about those people. Like, I wonder about these city council people in 1974. Why did they feel the need so heavily to hold press conferences and try to run this man's name through the mud? If they had charges and they had people and they knew what the charges were, they should have said that. Here are the charges. Here are the people we've talked to. This is why we want you to resign. But that's not what happened. What happened was, we've got charges against you. We're not going to tell you what they are. We're not going to tell you who said them. But we want you to resign. Now, what kind of story is that? To run in the newspaper. Now, somebody explain that to me. 740-383-9944. All I know is that it ended up with a gentleman, a police chief, a long-term police chief here in Marion, dead at his own hands, at his own desk. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine the people who had worked with him in the police department at that time when he killed himself on that afternoon at 11 a.m.? On October 4th, 1974, their police chief, not only had he resigned that morning, but he killed himself at his own desk. I mean, I can't even imagine what that would have been like. And I don't know if there were any police officers who were around at that time who would have been there when that happened. But what a horrible, horrible scene that must have been. Had anybody heard anything about the John Long situation out there? Love to hear from somebody this morning. And it doesn't have to be, you know, it might have just been something you heard at the time. Or maybe you did know him. He was the police chief. He was out and about in the 60s and 70s. Or maybe you work for the police department. Or maybe you've had a relative who knew something. Give me a buzz here. 54 minutes past the hour. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Does anybody have anything to say about this particular situation? Would love to hear from you on this because it's a... to me, I would just love to know what these charges were. I mean, what in the world was so terrible? And no charges in a court of law were ever brought against this man. You know, accusations were, press conferences were, investigations apparently were being done, but no charges were ever brought up against him. So you have to wonder, how do we conduct things? How do we do things? I don't know. Again, we'll have about 5 minutes left here if anybody has anything to say about this. I just think it's one of the most fascinating stories that you could ever run into in Marion because it speaks to things that people face if you're the police chief, if you're a judge, if you're a mayor, if you're a city councilman, if you are well known in any way in the community, you will get treated differently by the media than just the average person. And sometimes that puts horrible pressure on you that you would not face if you were not in a position. But the argument on that is people will say that because you have those positions, you are held to a higher standard. Well, I don't know. You know, I guess if you have actual charges brought against you and you're convicted, well, maybe. But if the charges are never brought and you can't tell who the accusers are, I don't know if that's exactly right. But that's the way it goes, as they say. The John Long story, which I've wanted to bring up for quite a while. And again, we're going to take this right up to the top of the hour, then come back with some more fun. Don't forget, Glenn Coble will be in here today from 10 a.m. till 12 noon. Then we've got Progressive Life today from 12:15 to 1 p.m. Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redmond, 4:10 to 5 p.m. And the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Sermon, 6:10 till 7 p.m. right here today on WWGH Radio. Go ahead, caller.
Well, it sounds like there was something to those charges or accusations if he shot himself.
Well, see, that's the problem, though, that I think somebody like John Long was probably thinking about. When you put him in the newspaper and you do stuff like that, people think there's something to him, even if they have no idea what they are.
Well, he wasn't going to shoot himself just because people was going to think something was to it. I mean,
I don't know about that. If you are a police chief and you're well respected in the community and you have got the sheriff and city council people holding public press conferences calling for your resignation, saying they have all these goods on you, you're 2 months from retirement, you know, that story in itself goes out there.
Well, I don't think that'd be enough to make somebody, you know, that was a right mind and, you know, that professional and stuff to shoot himself if it wasn't true. The only thing is, maybe the charges might have not been exactly true, but maybe it was going to hurt his reputation with his family. Maybe he had some sordid affair and he had kids by some other woman or something, but, you know.
Yeah, but you know the interesting thing? When he resigned that morning, he said in the resignation, these charges are hogwash. I mean, he said it, and the newspaper reported it. If he really believed that the charges, that there was something to them, I think you're right. He would have just said it's hogwash. He would have fought him. He had already resigned.
Yeah.
He'd already resigned. Why shoot yourself? Except for the fact that you are totally humiliated. Now you've got to resign your position. Now that's on your record forever. You've got these charges, which you're going to have to fight. See, and that's the problem people don't understand either. You think you can just come out and deny them. Well, it doesn't work that way. What happens is they make an accusation and you deny it, but then it goes on and on and on and on, and there has to be an investigation, and that's on the front page of the paper every day, and God forbid there is a trial, and that goes on and on and on and on, and then you finally get a verdict, and even if you get an innocent verdict, you know what? Everybody packs up and goes home. That's one day news. Oh, yep, they were innocent. Okay, on to the next story. Yet you've got 3 months of stories every day about how awful they were.
Right, but I don't really think that was going to... There had to have been some embarrassing, or the charges had to have been true to some extent to cause the man to want to shoot himself.
Well, I think the embarrassment was not so much the charges. I think the embarrassment was that he was on the front page of the paper with a story. City Council, the Marion County Sheriff, wants you to resign because they've got these accusers against
you. But when you have a position like that, or, you know, when you're in politics, you better have good shoulders, you know what I'm saying? If you let every little thing, you know, accusation made against you bother you and you're going to kill yourself for it, you know, there wouldn't be very many people in politics.
Well, I don't know. I think the way this one was handled was awful, because they never told him who was accusing him. They never said what the accusations were.
We probably knew who was accusing him.
Well, you think that, but, you know, not always.
No, not always, but...
And they didn't even tell the... Now, why wouldn't they tell the mayor? They wouldn't tell him either.
Yeah, I mean, the mayor probably should have known, but it sounds like he was giving him the opportunity to resign, and there wasn't going to be nothing to the charges. But if he didn't resign, he was going to proceed with charges.
You know, but have you ever seen a newspaper article where there's not a single charge filed against the person, but yet it's on the front page? Person accused of this. But yet, if you actually read it, they were never charged with anything. Now, why do that?
Well, that's just the nature, and the media has to have something to report. If they didn't have something to report, they, you know, they look hard and try to find something, you know.
Well, do you remember the auditor when he got accused of doing this campaigning over in the Fair Park area? He had charges brought against him, and that was covered by the paper very heavily. And in the end, what was the outcome of that? The case was dismissed. It took a year and a half to dismiss it. Now, I'm not saying that's the right or wrong thing to do. I don't know the intricacies of that trial, but it turned out there was nothing, but there were...
But that don't mean the charges against him wasn't true. It might have been that there wasn't enough to the charges that the prosecutor thought he could get a conviction.
And I think that's the problem. I think that that's what people think. And I think that's probably what John Long thought. I'm 2 months away from retirement, and no matter what, these stories are always going to be here. That somebody accused me, that there was a press conference held. No matter what I do now, whether I resign, retire, stay in the job, this is here forever. It will always be that somebody accused me of this, and it will forever be in the public record on newspaper that I was accused of this.
But a lot of your police officers and stuff like that, they get to retire pretty early. They retire and then they stay in the business too.
Well, I got to go to break, but call back next hour and maybe we'll continue this.
Okay.
Thank you. Be right back.
One.com. Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by CRT Mechanicals. Address 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number 740-225-4495. Webpage